You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue.
We can recognize that this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
Oh, so your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic.
Simply because you ask a question, Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, of a Berkeley law professor, you are transphobic just by asking the question. That's what we've come down to in this nation. Thank you for joining us. This is July 13, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com right now and enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, one word, and it'll take you right to our page, and you find the live location, push live, you join us in studio. And a reminder, any program you miss will later be posted at rumble.com and at larryconnorsusa.com, larryconnorsusa.com. So if you miss any of the audio portion, you can listen and share with others. You can also subscribe. We'll get it to you each and every day. You won't miss anything. So there was Senator Josh Hawley in that Judiciary Committee hearing, and the question was, do you think a man can get pregnant? And Hawley said, no. But this law professor, and I cannot stress enough, this is Berkeley. It's known for being far, far out there. But this is a law professor who is teaching would-be law students this is the way the law should be. God help us, because this is going down the wrong road in a hurry. We're going to get into that in more detail in the second hour. Joe Biden has arrived in Israel, part of a four-day trip. He will be discussing with Israel the Iran deal. I don't know why they want to continue to bring that up. We're going to get into that. And which, by the way, you should take note of this. The president of Israel, Herzog, will award Biden with, quote, the Presidential Medal of Honor during his visit. I'm looking at a piece written by Rabbi Menken, who is the director of the Coalition for Jewish Values, the largest rabbinic organization in the U.S. And in the op-ed, he said, Biden claims Middle East is more stable and secure than what he inherited 18 months ago. Did they forget Afghanistan? I don't think they would consider they are stable. And yet Biden gets his highest honor from Israel while Trump continues to be not acknowledged for outstanding pro-Israeli work while U.S. president. It makes no sense. I cannot even understand why the Israeli President Herzog would give the Presidential Medal of Honor to Biden. I know it's a ceremonious thing, but it's a wrong signal. We're going to be joined later by Fred Flights. He's an expert on the Middle East and asking the question, why is Biden really going to spend time rehashing Iran, trying to get it back up, and going to Saudi Arabia begging for oil, which he claims he's not? You're also going to hear from Ari Fleischer, former White House press secretary. He's out with a new book titled Deception, Snobbery, and Bias, focusing on the state-controlled media, what was called mainstream media, and how they continue to give you fake news and alter facts to fit their needs. And also the Uvalde school shooting. What happened inside the hallway after the gunman entered, and even pictures before he entered. But then once he's inside and firing repeatedly into a classroom, and police arrive, and when they're going down the hallway and positioning and nearby, shots are fired. And I hate to say it, but when the shots again were fired, police ran away from the shooting. You're not going to like what I'm going to have to say about it, and I'm a big cop supporter. But this was wrong. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
God named Waking Bond Man. Waking around the fire, I want a little rain or water. That you want that Jimmy Star, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, you ain't.
Mr. President, what's your message to Democrats who don't want you to run again?
They want me to run.
Two-thirds say they
read
don't.
Read the polls. Read the polls, Jack. You guys are all the same. That poll showed that 92% of Democrats, if I ran, would vote for me.
A majority of Democrats say they don't want you to run again in 2024.
92% said if I did, they'd vote for me.
92% say if I run again, they'll vote for me. Those are the words of Joe Biden, and he was angry. He was angry at those reporters. Said, Jack, look at the polls. You guys are all the same. And then another question coming from ABC reporter said, read the polls. You guys are all the same. 92% of the Democrats said they'd vote for me if I run again. 92%? We just had a New York Times story yesterday that indicated his support was really, really weak. He might win if it were heads up today between Biden and Trump, but it'd only be about 4% margin. So that's not 92%. Where would he come up with a 92% number to begin with? I found one source that has 92% in it. He didn't say this specifically, but if so, he's referring to a new Washington Post Ipsos poll that found 92% of registered voters, I need to add a word here, they left out. They didn't leave out, but Biden left out. 92% of black registered voters support Biden over Trump. That's the newest poll coming from Washington Post. Black Americans still rank police conduct and racism as the key issues when it comes to choosing a candidate. 94% of black Americans think the country needs to continue making changes that give black Americans equal rights with white Americans. Are we going to go through this forever? But 92% say of black registered voters, they would support Biden over Trump. Well, that's if just the black populace was voting, then that might hold true. But I'm not even sure of that. Looking at Trump's last numbers, he got, I think, above 8 to 10% on black, 30-plus percent on Hispanic. But Biden got upset. He got upset over that. He was, of course, getting ready to board the plane, headed off to the Middle East. He's now in Israel as I speak. Oh, which, by the way, real quick note here. The White House insisted Biden would not shake hands on the Middle East trip. That's what they said. He would go visit, but he would not shake hands with Netanyahu because the White House vowed he'd avoid the action on that Mideast trip. And, of course, Netanyahu is no longer the prime minister, but he's there to help greet him. But he did. He shook hands with him. And the current prime minister, as I mentioned earlier, Herzog, is going to award Biden with the Presidential Medal of Honor. It makes no sense. It makes no sense what Joe Biden is trying to say as he continues to say again that 92%. Well, that's so far off. I'm looking at a piece that was written by Newsweek. They're fact checkers of Newsweek. Now, you can question Newsweek all you want, but if you're going to look at these fact questions and you want to get some opinion, you want to get some understanding of it, you got to at least accept the fact that they took a look at it. This is the Newsweek News Finders. The question, the one asked by the New York Times poll, which Biden might have also been referring to, found 92% of Democrats would support Biden in election, but only if asked to vote today, and the only other option was Trump, or not voting. Or an unnamed nominee. That's not the same as saying 92% wanting to run. Now, that broadens it beyond just the black Washington Post Ipsos poll I told you about, but it still is lacking a lot of context. But don't let the facts interfere with a good story. Biden wants to say, look, I got 92% of the people supporting me. No, you don't. No, you don't. And in fact, the final ruling by the Newsweek fact-checking team, false. It's false. Now, there's something else that's in play here. Yesterday, we were telling you about the New York Times poll, and I told you then it was pretty interesting, their take on it, when they began to do their first midterm election poll based on what was going on and how things would go. And they even in their opening remarks made it clear that being the first midterm election survey they're doing, their first poll of the 2022 midterm, showing that the main message, Americans dissatisfied with the candidates as they were in 2016, and then it also got into would you vote for Trump or Biden in 2024, didn't present any other options, 10% said they don't plan to support either one. But the bottom line was that it came down that the left has a set of priorities. This is from their political analyst, Nate Cohn. The left has a set of priorities that is different from the rest of the country. We know that, don't we? Liberals, he says, care more about about abortion and guns, make that gun control, than the economy. Conservative concerns are much more in line with the rest of the country. That's what the New York Times was saying yesterday. Somebody got to Nate Cohn and the rest of the New York Times editor board and said, what the hell are you guys doing? You got to cease and desist. You got to spin this back around. Well, look what hit my news mail today. Here's my morning slap in the face from the New York Times, David Lenhart writing, quote, good morning, Larry. Despite Biden's low approval ratings, Democrats are roughly tied with Republicans in the midterm polls. My God, you compare this to the piece they had yesterday I know it focused more on Biden, but the midterm polls are also a reflection on Biden. But here they're suddenly saying, what we're seeing here is these attitudes of the midterm elections are showing that really it's a very close race. Which is it? Well, it's whatever they want to make of it. That's what it amounts to. Which leads me to R.A. Flesher, who was a White House press secretary. And if Biden still thinks that he is the guy and he's the one they will pull the lever for, here's R.A. Flesher's response.
What a fabrication and what a fantasy land he's living in if he thinks the Democrats really want him to run. They don't. If he runs against Donald Trump, the Democrats are going to rally. That's going to be a fact.
Right? Mm-hmm.
The problem is the Democrats don't want him to be the candidate.
Right. 64% of them say nominate a different person. These right. are Democrats. Who do they have?
Oh, they're going to have 28 candidates again. Remember, last time they had 28 mm-hmm. candidates. We had two nights of debates because there were so many on two different stages. The same thing will happen. And look, it's not bad. It's a healthy part of our democracy. Primaries let the parties breathe. They let new blood come and get established. So this will be the future for the Democrats. I predicted this in May that Biden is not going to run again.
Right.
Just think about the day after the November election. If they lose the House, lose the Senate, do they really want an unpopular 80-year-old to lead them into the future?
And they don't. They don't. So this New York Times piece that came out today, basically, in the face of what they released yesterday, a contradiction. Again, it says, despite his low approval ratings, Democrats are roughly tied with Republicans in the midterm polls. There's no way you can have both based on this. There's not one Democrat that has asked Biden to come campaign with him or her. Not one that I've seen. And then, of course, you had Jill Biden going out yesterday or making remarks the other day, basically calling Latinos tacos. Yeah. Well, that's kind of a slur, wouldn't you think? We'll get into that again before we wrap up this hour. But Gerardo Rivera, who is also Hispanic heritage, and he was saying, I'm glad you guys, talking about it, the rest of the folks on Fox team, including Tucker Carlson, you guys aren't calling me tacos. But he said, the truth is Democrats are extremely frightened.
Democrats are frightened. They're frustrated. They're angry. They're bitter. They don't understand why Joe Biden is doing so poorly. They blame it now on his age, and he is more frail than he has been. But I also think that when you shake it all down, and despite the alarming stories and the fact that so many Democrats are turning on Biden, including the New York Times and New York Magazine, bastions of the liberal establishment, it seems to me, I think that in a head-to-head between Biden and Trump, I think that the Democrats would say anybody but Trump, and we'll take Biden, however, if we have to carry him in on a stretcher.
And that may be the way they have to take him into the White House next time, if he were to run in 2024 and to win. But again, I remind you, when Biden is saying 92%, look at the polls, he insisted to the reporter. Look at the polls. 92% want me. No, they don't. And, of course, the White House spokeswoman echoing the president's remarks, again, misrepresenting that poll. She told reporters the poll shows 92% of Democrats support this president. Well, again, that was not the question asked. The question asked, if the election were today, between Biden and Trump, 92% said, well, we'd take Biden. But I got to question even that, because as Nate Cohn, as I was quoting earlier in the piece that yesterday, when the New York Times was indicating that there's a lot of dissatisfaction with the Democrat Party. Well, look at what's going around us. Inflation. Inflation, by the way, hitting a new 40-year high. 9%+ inflation now. 9%+. Your wages keeping up with that? And that was really for last month. But the other issue that cannot be ignored, and Nate Cohn was quoted as the New York Times political analyst and pollster yesterday. I haven't seen them go back and try to retract his statements, but his statements were very, very direct, buried deep in the copy, mind you. But he said, the left has a set of priorities that is just different from the rest of the countries. Liberals care more about abortion and guns than about the economy. Conservative concerns are much more in line with the rest of the country. Those are indisputable facts. You know that, I know that, the left knows it, and even inside the Democrat Party. If the Democrat and Republican Party is actually split, 40% for Democrats, 40% for Republicans, and you got 20% in between, even inside the Democrats, there are multiple splits inside there. Oh, I know there's some in the Republican Party, too, but more so in the Democrats. And Congressman, I should say Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, points out again that Dems are totally, totally out of touch.
You have to say that men can get pregnant, and if you don't say it, then you are a bigot and you are responsible for violence. I mean, that is the party line. Let's not forget who invited this witness. She was there as a Democrat witness. You didn't see a single Democrat disagree with that. In fact, they're all over social media applauding her and saying, oh, that's exactly right. It's not exactly right. It's exactly crazy, which is why voters are running screaming away from the Democrat Party. This is craziness. And I tell you, Sean, they are so out of touch with America. It's just, you can't even make this stuff up.
Can't even make it up. More on Hawley in the next segment. Coming up, Biden and his plan to go to Iran. Stand by.
Larry Connors USA.
I don't know why Democrats have always been so obsessed with the Iran nuclear deal. I don't know if they're really true believers that this is the pathway to peace in the Middle East, when all of our allies are telling us the opposite, when all of our intelligence tells us the opposite, when any shred of common sense you might have tells us the Iranians are gaming this out. They're long-term thinkers. They are clever. They are deceitful. I hope that the Israelis, I hope that the Saudis share intelligence with Biden that is convincing and persuasive and says, look, no matter what you do, the Iranians will go down this path. The only way to deter them is through strength. You have right. to make sure that they know that there are consequences if they pass these lines. You have to include other things in these deals, like their meddling throughout the Middle East, like their regional destabilization efforts, their testing of ballistic missiles that have the capability to carry nuclear warheads. All of these things have to be on the table. The Israelis know that. The Saudis know that. It's time that we understood it as well.
And it's a very simple understanding. It should be. Let me put it that way. That is Texas Congressman Dan Crenshaw saying, I do not know why we continue to want to go back and revive the Iran deal. The Iran deal, if you recall, it was never a treaty because it was never submitted to the Senate for approval. It was basically going to, at that time, the Obama administration pushing it forward, being part of his legacy in 2015, and it included not only us, but other countries, Russia, France, Germany, and England, and we were all going to accept a deal that Iran would not try to move into nuclear weapons, and Iran would agree to cease and desist, but we were never going to be allowed free and open inspections, and we're still not. It was a bad deal at that time, and even Senator Joe Lieberman, Connecticut, Democrat, said it was a bad deal then, giving the Iranians a lot of money, billions, and they used it to invade neighboring countries and support terrorism in the Middle East and around the world. They did not give it to their own people. We knew that was going to happen. Do you remember that in August of 2016, the Obama administration secretly arranged a delivery by plane of $400 million cash to Iran at the same day that they released four American prisoners. That's basically buying prisoners, paying hostage demand money, but they didn't want to call it that. They're just saying this is money that's owed them, that we confiscated when they took over our embassy, and it's you back to them, and if we're taking a court, we'll have to give it to them. Well, let them take us to the damn world court, and let's see about it. Because inside that $400 million we sent over, in the dark of night, on a cargo plane, small denomination bills of various currencies so they could be spread throughout the Middle East, which is exactly what Senator Joe Lieberman just discussed. He said they didn't use it to help their own people. They gave it to invading, to use it to help invade neighboring countries and support terrorism in the Middle East and around the world. And even Senator Lieberman said it weakens us and our allies. It weakens us in the eyes of our allies. And here we're going to have Biden go back and try to resurrect it again. He's on the first day of a four-day trip to Israel, and it will also conclude in Saudi Arabia. And in Saudi Arabia, it's going to be again, we need more oil. We've got it here in this country, but of course they shut down the Keystone Pipeline. They basically have ceased drilling on several federal and oil land sites. Oh, but they'll claim, oh, they're open for them. The drilling companies aren't doing. The drilling companies are not going to invest a dollar more until they know you're not going to try to shut them down within less than 10 years after they start putting more money into it, which is the plan of the green pie in the sky people. I'm going to have Fred Flights coming up in the next segment. Fred Flights is with the American First Policy Institute, an expert on Iran and the so-called nuclear deal with Iran, and now Biden making the trip to Saudi Arabia. You don't want to miss his expert opinion of what's going on behind the scenes and what's at stake. Fred Flights will be joining us coming up next.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Come on in, I'll be close to your mind, kind of mind. So big and so strong. Come on in, I'll be closer. I'm all alone, and the night is so long.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
President Joe Biden barely on Israeli soil before he has a brain freeze and makes this statement, saying, we vow to, quote, keep alive the honor of the Holocaust. The honor of the Holocaust. He said, I return once more to the hallowed ground to honor 6 million Jewish lives stolen in a genocide, and we must every day keep alive the truth and honor of the Holocaust. The horror of the Holocaust. That's what he meant to say. So he has a brain freeze, does that. He shakes hands with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, former Prime Minister Netanyahu, when the White House said there'll be no shaking hands, fear of COVID. And he's off to a great start. Fred Flights joining us now, American First Policy Institute. What's your first reaction to him in Israel and how it started?
Well, you know, Larry, I'm not optimistic that this trip will come off well for the president. Even for a statesman who was at the top of his game, given our strained relationship with the Israelis and our terrible relationship with the Saudis, this would be a challenge. On one hand, the Biden wanted to cozy up to the Palestinians. Now he's changed his mind. He claims he's going to have some breakthrough with the Israelis in relations, but there can't be a breakthrough as long as we're pushing another terrible nuclear deal with Iran. So my expectations are pretty low for the Israeli side.
All right, let me break something down you just said. Now, there were reports that he was also going to visit East Jerusalem, basically around Palestinian territory. Is that part of the trip? Have you heard word that that's not going to happen now, that he's not going to do that? And he's going to go there without any Israeli representatives with him.
Well, I heard he was going to go into Palestinian territory. I don't know where to meet with Palestinian authorities.
Without Israeli authorities with him, right?
That's right. Yeah. And presidents often do that, although President Trump did not.
Well, the other thing is, how do you explain, and I cannot get over this, I really want to break down the Iran and the next big stop, Saudi Arabia, but President Herzog today said they will award Biden with the Presidential Medal of Honor during his visit. He's done nothing but make the world worse over there for them, especially Afghanistan is not as stable as it was, obviously, and the way we went out of it, and Biden is receiving that while Trump continued not to be acknowledged for the Abraham Accords and everything else?
All right, this is the way the world turns. Don't you remember that Barack Obama got a Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah.
He'd only been president for 10 months and had done absolutely nothing. It's just the way the world operates. Trump obviously deserved a Nobel Peace Prize for the Abraham Accords, whether you like him or not. This was an historic breakthrough. It broke with traditional thinking. And frankly, despite the incompetence and the hostility of the Biden administration, that agreement is still going strong.
Now, we had mentioned before you joined us about how when the Iran deal that got pushed through by Obama as part of his legacy was never a treaty, and I don't know if he ever actually ended up, it was ever actually truly signed by the Iranians. I kept hearing that it never really was. But the bottom line is, we do know that when they released four prisoners, we sent $400,000 cash overnight on a plane in small denominations, various currencies, so they could be spread throughout the Middle East. And even former Senator Lieberman of Connecticut said, that was wrong. All we did was instill more terror in the Middle East.
Well, that was ransom. And it was actually a total of $1.6 billion in cash that we gave Iran as ransom to get those American soldiers out. Innocent American civilians out. And we traded them for 18 Iranians, I think it was 18, who were involved in the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, selling weapons. I mean, people who had done really awful things. But concerning the nuclear deal, no one signed it. However, the Iranian parliament ratified it. But the Senate was not allowed to ratify it. And, you know, I do Arab TV interviews. I don't just do your great show, Larry. I sometimes do Arab TV shows, and sometimes I'm all with the Iranians, and they cry and scream that this treaty was binding. And I said, look, if you wanted it to be binding, why didn't you ask the Obama administration to have it ratified as a treaty?
As
your
a U.S.
parliament
Senate.
Ratified it.
Right.
They just ignore me. But, I mean, the fact is that the Europeans and the Iranians, they knew this wouldn't be binding on the U.S.,
So why is Biden supposedly going to start rediscussing that with Israel and trying to show that we can all live together peacefully here? Lieberman is saying he needs to basically say is tell King Solomon we're giving up on the Iranians, we're with you and the Israelis and the rest of the Arab world, and let's move forward. Your reaction to that?
This whole trip is about Biden begging for oil. Everything else is superfluous. The trip to Israel, it's just because Biden's in the vicinity. He's going to talk to the Iranians. They're just not going to listen to him until he says he's dropping the Iran deal. It is basically pro forma. He's going to get his award. He's going to leave. He's going to go to Saudi Arabia. He'll read some talking points on human rights and stuff like that, and he's going to ask them to lower or to increase oil production. That's all this is about.
Now, supposedly word has been that they are at max production now anyway.
Well, I have heard that, and I know that French President Macron said that in an open mic to Biden recently. The Washington Post today has a column in which they're quoting U.S. officials saying that the Saudis are not at top production. So I don't know what the answer is, but I know Biden's going to push for it anyway.
And we do know that we've got plenty of oil under our feet in this nation, that we were energy independent until the Biden administration came in. But Biden has been saying, I'm not going to be begging for oil. I'm just Well, which is it? Which is it? Is he going over the tin cup saying, brother, can you spare some oil? Or is he going on and say, just increase production and we'll figure it out some other way?
He's going there with a tin cup, and he wants other nations to produce more oil because he does not want the U.S. to produce more. He would like oil prices to stay high. He would like a situation where they are permanently high, but he'd like prices to go down to get him past the 22 election.
Yeah, and that's why he's releasing for 90 days, dropping the federal gas tax, and, of course, releasing more from the strategic reserve. I'm not even getting yet to him selling it to other countries, including China. But the fact is, but including the fact that he's trying to make everything look like I'm in total control when today's inflation numbers come out, 9+%.
I mean, the people know that Putin didn't do this, that Trump didn't do this, that Biden came into the White House at war with fossil fuels, at war with gasoline-fueled engines. The American people know that. They know most Americans can't buy electric vehicles, and even if they wanted to, we can't make that many. It is an impossible policy, and unless you're absolutely dyed-in-the-wool liberal Democrat, you understand this.
That's what I was pointing out earlier. The New York Times yesterday came out with a survey, basically their first political survey for the midterms, and saying, well, you know, it looks like it's going to be bad for Biden and the Democrats. And then the team seemed to spin it around. Somebody got a hold of Nate Cohen overnight and said, hey, you need to kind of give us another look at this, saying, Biden is looking better than, you know, he does. And Biden, of course, today saying 92% of the American people would vote for me. That was based on if it were held today and it was just Biden against Trump. So it's, a fabrication and a lie.
I just think gas prices and inflation are a killer for any party in power. And I don't see gas prices coming down substantially before November. And bringing inflation down is hard. It may get worse in the fall.
Yeah, it will get worse. And the other point being, as we're saying, we are digging into our strategic oil reserves, which are meant for exactly that, national disaster, war, hurricanes, so forth, and then selling it to other countries, including China. What's wrong with that picture?
You know, I've talked to some of my colleagues who think that Biden did this deliberately. He sold this Chinese company that his son had a stake in.
Right.
I'm afraid that I don't think Biden's smart enough to do that. I think he released the oil not understanding that the market's going to determine where it goes. I think there's a lot of corruption in the Biden family, but I don't think that Joe Biden deliberately sold oil to a Chinese company his son is associated with. You may disagree with me on that, but I don't see it that way.
Well, I don't have any more information than you, but it certainly appears to be that. Bottom line is, it's meant for U.S. strategic needs.
Yes. And you know, there's not enough of it to have a big effect on our oil consumption,
right,
or on the market. It is more an attempt to be seen as doing something.
Yeah. That's as you said earlier, the entire trip is pro forma, just simply a dog and pony show. My words, not yours. Fred Flights, again, I appreciate you joining us and sharing your expertise between us and the Arab TV world. Thank you. We'll do it again.
All right. Bye-bye.
You bet. Fred Flights, American First Policy Institute. We told you about the stumble Biden had as soon as he got on Israeli soil. You need to hear something else coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town & Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town & Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
She wants to dance like ooh, I'm a sermon. Bury me till I confess. She wants to dance like ooh, I'm a sermon. And I
Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him, America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him,
You know what? I'd heard about this the other day, and then Pastor Randy Mayfield called it to my attention again today, and he said, you need to take a look at this, and I agree, and I'm glad I did. That was Joe Biden on July 4th with Kamala Harris standing behind him and saying that American can be defined in one word. And then it became a conglomerate. I mean, we talk about VP Harris having word salad, throwing words around seriously, we should be seriously considering this because you seriously are about it. If you're serious about it, we should be serious, and it's serious enough to be that kind of stuff. That's word salad. What you heard from Biden then was, a brain freeze? That's what some are suggesting. I've mentioned that before. Maybe he has too much ice cream. You ever have a brain freeze? That kind of stuff exists. But in this case, when he's trying to say we can define America in one word and doing it on July 4th, what we got was a combination of words. I'm going to ask Mark to play that one more time. You're going to hear it twice. We cut it that way so you can hear it and see if you can make out what words he actually is even trying to say.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him, America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him,
You still can't really understand it, can you? I can't either, but I'm looking at someone wrote out that says, let me see, it says, let me see if I can make out the rest of it. That is the President of the United States. Your only JOB at that moment was to come out on July 4th and make a simple declarative statement. You could have ended it by just saying that one word. America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. Great. Fantastic. The best. Oh, that'd be two words. Superlative. Whatever he intended, and I'm sure there's a transcript, I just haven't had time to look it up. What he ended up saying was not anywhere near that. And then today in Israel, barely on the ground in Israel, and immediately commits another brain freeze moment, saying, we return once again to the hallowed ground to honor 6 million Jewish lives who were stolen in genocide and to keep alive the truth and honor of the Holocaust. The honor of the Holocaust? Well, he recognized quickly what he said and changed it to keep alive, here's the way he actually said it, to keep alive the truth and honor of the Holocaust, the horror of the Holocaust. You want to just say, well, it happens, and I agree. I mean, life stuff happens. Jill Biden, of course, proved it herself the other day when she's talking about Latinx, which they hate being called, referencing Hispanics or Latinos, Hispanic apparently being the most preferred term, but basically comparing them to tacos. Tacos. Wait, what are you going to call all the Chinese Americans? You're going to call them wontons? You're going to call all the Texans BS? Well, now that I'll buy. Yeah, we are. But let me give you something behind the scenes here. Biden and his constant criticism about his cognitive health declining, Ronnie Jackson, Congressman Jackson, Republican of Texas, writes about a stern email that he got from Obama, who was talking then about then-presidential candidate Biden's, quote, crazy statements and concerning mental gaffes. Jackson recalled to the statement he made, Biden was on TV again making crazy statements concerning mental gaps. He said, Trump never made such crazy ones. Well, then, as a response to that, he got an email from Obama. And Obama wrote in the email, I made a point of not commenting on your service in my successor's administration and always spoken highly of you, both in public and private. You always served me and my family well. Yeah, because he also served the Obama family. I've considered you not only a fine doctor and service member, but also a friend. That's why I had to express my disappointment on that cheap shot you took at Biden via Twitter. It was unprofessional and beneath the office you held. It was also disrespectful to me and the many friends you had in our administration. Jackson said he was surprised and flustered by the email, deciding whether he should call him or respond, but he said a friend of his insisted, don't even bother. He said, I just walked away from it. But that was a private email that Obama had sent the former White House physician Jackson, because he dared call out Biden's defects. Coming up, how you can be considered a racist simply by asking a question.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.